Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow, line dance song. Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow, line dance song.
Hey, Songhai Nation, welcome to the show. QT and Songhai here with you after a metric crap ton of technical difficulties with blogtalkradio.com. Their engineers work very quickly. We're ready to go here, so really quickly, some show notes if you're looking for wrestling in the next couple of days. Tonight, WCWO, like usual, at the Outlaw Arena in Indianapolis. EPW in Ridgely, West Virginia, featuring Casey Carlisle, whom I love. Up in our neck of the woods, Defy Wrestling, happening in Seattle, Washington. You have Wrestling Theology happening in Carmel, Indiana. 3XW in Des Moines, WW in Kelowna, D.C. You have Good Slam happening in Oakland, California. The NWA in McAllen, Texas. Tomorrow night up in our neck of the woods. ECCW in New Westminster, British Columbia. 3-2-1 Battle in Seattle. PPW in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. WXW in Mineola, Florida. APW in Statesboro, Georgia. AAW in Rosemont, Illinois. Smash Mouth Wrestling in Valparaiso, Indiana. AMW in Hinman, Kentucky. WWA in Central City, Kentucky, PVPW in Hadley, Massachusetts, MWWA in St. Louis, Missouri, UPW in Gates Center, New York, the NWA in Marion, Ohio, WPW in St. Cloud, Wisconsin, RS at WF in Memphis, Tennessee, ASWA in Mansfield, Ohio, ACW in Stevens, Pennsylvania, and BWF in Appomattox, Virginia tomorrow night, also featuring Casey Carlisle. I would like to welcome to the show now our guest. We finally got you on here. Randy Zellers, welcome to the program.
Hey, what's happening, guys? How y'all doing? Turmoil?
Doing very well, despite our technical issues a little bit earlier. Thanks for your patience.
Oh, it's all good.
To start off, for the people unfamiliar, why don't you tell the listeners how it is that you got into the world of professional wrestling?
That was pretty easy. Once the blue moon, I went to the Indian reservation. I saw an advertisement for Raven was coming in my area, so me, my cousin, another buddy of mine, and a security guard who was actually my neighbor at the time, we all piled up in the Jeep, went over there. We were entertained, and I was like, yeah, I want to get into this. And I'll tell you a real quick story about that, too, because I could have been in ICW way back when Mark Ferguson, as we all know him as the Chef, was the promoter at the time, and he had his ring in his front yard and stuff like that. He lived off Pearl. And at that time, I was playing semi-pro football, and I wanted to get into it then, but I didn't hear anything else like shows going on and stuff. So I stuck with playing football and got burned out from that. And when I saw the advertisement that Raven was coming to town, I decided to go ahead and try and get trained up as best of my ability and see what I can really do in the ring.
ICW, a promotion I'm very familiar with. I used to go to a metric crap ton of those shows. What was it about ICW that made you almost get into that many years before you actually did start in pro wrestling?
I already had a commitment with football at the time, and I decided to get all this. You know how, like, when you quit playing a sport for a while, and then, you know, you are either that or you just gave up on it too early, and you know, like Rocky, you know, you want to get it out your system. And that's exactly what I did with football.
When you started out your professional wrestling training, how did it differ from what you expected it to be going into it, and how did it differ from training for football?
To tell you the truth, football, you know, you got to go through putting on the shoulder pads, you know, your thigh pads. I mean, everything has a pad. and for wrestling, you know, it's cardio. Whole lot of cardio.
Now, coming out of semi-pro football, what was your conditioning like going into wrestling training? Were you ready cardio-wise, or was it a shock as far as how much cardio you did need once you got into wrestling?
To tell you the truth, I think I got into a lot more shape when I went in. I mean, when I went into wrestling, I got in a little bit of shape for wrestling, and to tell you the truth, wrestling can take the toll on you. And at that time, I had, let's say, my right shoulder, I had a torn labrum, and that kind of you know, as I progressed with it, it was, I mean, wrestling got me in some good shape. I ended up meeting a lot of great people. And you know, I mean, you got to put in with the good and the bad, you know. You meet some pretty bad people, and you meet some great people. And with wrestling, it's just like going into a normal job, you know. You have your gossipers, you got your politicians, you got your workhorses, and you got your people that are just loyal and just have a love for the business.
Now, throughout your career, and you've been around for quite a few years now, you've done a lot of tag teams. You've been a number of them. You had a pretty good...
Yeah.
...only capturing the Northwest Pro Heavyweight title, as a matter of fact. Do you have a personal...
It's the Washington State Heavyweight title.
Oh,
for
I
Northwest
stand correct.
Pro.
My fault.
Oh, that's all right.
Do you have a personal preference for the tag teams versus the singles? Do you like one over the other, or is it the same as far as you're concerned?
To tell you the truth, to me it's the same, but it's always good. It's always good to have a tag team partner who for one you can go out there and you can depend on, and they depend on you. And for singles competition, you know, it's you versus everybody.
Now, I referenced Northwest Pro. You have the big show next week at the Peninsula. You've been with Northwest Pro for over a year now. What do you think about the job that they're doing as they continue to grow seemingly every time they put on a show?
Oh, man. Well, to tell you the truth, I mean, with Northwest Pro, I mean, the locker room, like, we have that brotherhood in the locker room, right? I mean, there's some people that, you know, have a bad day. A lot of people have their moments, but when it's lights, camera, action, everyone's sticking together. And the promoter, he runs a tight ship. I mean, he doesn't put up with no BS whatsoever. And with that, you know, I appreciate that more than anything. I mean, everyone communicates, everyone gets on, like, when it's time to put up the ring, we slam and jam, put up the ring, set up and everything, but when the show's over, it's just, boom, let's get this ring, get it loaded up, get it out of here, clean up, and to tell you the truth, I mean, with Northwest Pro, I've had actually the most fun with Northwest Pro and PWF. I mean, and the Spokane guys, oh, yeah, I love them to death, man. IPW and CCW, yeah, those are my peoples over there. And I'm just having fun with my wrestling career. It's just nothing but fun to me.
Now, you talked about the people over there in Spokane. You've been with them for quite a while now, CPW.
Yep.
You've been down in Oregon. You've made it up to ECW.
Yep.
So you've been
to a
large number of companies.
Yeah.
As someone that gets around quite a bit, can you tell the listeners what it's like for you personally the first time in the locker room?
Oh, man. Well, for DCW, I mean, the boys over there, they showed me a lot of love and a lot of respect over there. And the very first time that I actually showed up at the TCW show, I wasn't booked. I just showed up there just to just to watch. And I remember I ended up first meeting Yvonne over there, and it was, I'll tell you this much, it was pretty cool. I mean, just seeing everyone who used to wrestle for SCW, like being up in TCW, and the first time I came up in there, you know, Dash, you know, tapped me on my shoulder. He's like, "Yeah, come on back with us." So I just went back there, reunited with some of the boys over there. It was great. And meeting a couple other folks, too, over there, like Cole Bishop. He was a pretty cool guy. And actually, you know, getting to know Caden Matthews, that was a really big plus on my behalf. That was a big plus to me.
Well, we've hit the part of the show. You might be familiar with it. We call it word association. I'll throw out the names of some people that you have come across in your career. The first word that jumps into your mind, describe them as your answer. Are you ready for a round of word association?
Yes, I am.
First one, Paul Preston.
Yeah. Paul Preston, Raiders fan, one cool cat. Had my back since day one.
J.B. Moonshine.
J.B. Moonshine, good cat, good person. Don't touch that moonshine. It'll mess you up real good.
Frankie Sky.
A smooth brother.
Sarah Lee.
Who?
Sarah Lee.
Sarah Lee?
Yes.
The pound, Sarah Lee pound cake sound real good right about now.
Bad Blood.
Bad Blood? A guy that takes no crap from anybody.
Coach Mike Jones.
Coach Mike Jones. All I gotta say is a guy that loves, I mean, he's the man that loves the Northwest.
Sunny Days.
Sunny Days? Hey, she can bright me up any day. really cool gal. She's cool peoples, man. I can't say nothing bad about her.
Mitch Ferguson.
Oh, Mitch Ferguson? Pure dominance ref.
Ian Bear.
Ian Bear? Let's see here. Alpha Sigma Sigma. That's all I got to say on that one. Actually, I'm wrestling him again in PWF in a no disqualification match. I hope he got his wrestling boots on because I'm going to come through there like a bunch of crazy dogs on acid.
Ayafula Dabashi.
Now, that is one terrorist I am not going to mess with.
Rook Kelly.
Rook Kelly? He doesn't call, they don't call him dynamic for nothing.
The final name, Sonny O'Mara.
Sonny O'Mara, that guy's 5150. He ain't nothing to mess with.
A little bit earlier, you mentioned the torn labrum that you had. I know that everyone that gets into a ring is going to have the bumps and bruises and the occasional injury. What's been some of the injuries that you had to deal with in your wrestling career?
Oh, let's see here. Well, my right shoulder is like one of them, and my left shoulder. My left shoulder, when they went in for a surgery, I went in for surgery on that. They had to remodify my bone so I can operate correctly. It was a long, long road before I can even think about stepping back in the ring again. I even tried buying, let's see, like another month just so I can heal, but you know how it goes. You know, when opportunity knocks on your door, you know, you answer it, and I haven't looked back ever since.
One of the more controversial things in the Pacific Northwest over the last 5 years has involved yourself. There's a lot of discussion on it, a lot of talk. There's people that believe one side, people that believe the other. I'd like for you to settle the controversy. Evan Sullivan has insisted for the last several years that Derby Hind is a fake and Nicki Minaj. Can you tell the listeners once and for all what the story is with that?
if you see some of the videos or some like clips of me wrestling, yeah, I mean, I do got a big old behind. I mean, I ain't gonna lie about that. I mean, and yeah, that is true, because Kevin Sullivan did say, look at that ass, it's a Nicki Minaj ass. Yeah, that is very true. But let's get one thing perfectly clear. I didn't pay for this. I got this behind inherited to me.
Well, Kevin Sullivan is listening today. There's your answer.
Yep. Hey. Yep.
Now, since we're on this subject, can you also put to bed the rumors on Christopher Rizik? Do you think he had injections a little bit more shapely? There's been those rumors.
Oh, I mean, to tell you the truth, rumors are always going to be rumors.
Well said. At this point in time, QT is standing by. I know that QT has questions for you also, so Fez Helfy, as I pass things over to QT.
QT.
Well, thank you, Steingatti. Hello, Randy.
Hey, what's happening, my man?
Hey, not too much. Randy, I saw your YouTube video entitled NGW Green Room Taskmaster Kevin Sullivan Sees the Light WHPG Pro Champ Randy Deller. The first question that pops into my mind is, are there any truth to the rumors that at the shooting of this video, Kevin Sullivan was a plebe undergoing initiation trials to get you into Alpha Sigma Alpha on Frat Row, or get himself into Alpha Sigma Alpha Frat Row?
Oh, yeah. At that time, yeah, I was in Alpha Sigma Alpha, and I'll tell you a little story about that. When we were shooting the promo, I don't know, something just kicked in me, like, you shouldn't act like a frat boy, you should act more of a preach. I was like, because I did it once over at SCW when everyone else was doing their stuff, and I was just like, well, you see, the wrestling masses came to me and said, you know, that they had a plan for me. and when that went on, Ogre was like, he just say that because he's drunk. And I was like, I don't drink beer. Y'all do that. I just get drunk off of life, you know what I mean?
Well, you know, watching this video, it seemed you were challenging Brother Love. Yes, you were a big fan of Brother Love.
Oh, man, Brother Love. Hey, Brother Love is my dude. I've always liked watching his show because he was entertaining as a talk show host. But I was like, dang, he a preacher in wrestling. You know, how did they get away with that?
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's okay. Brother Love was a good influence on you. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Well, at the 1:27 mark of the video, Kevin Sullivan brought up the subject of a strange smell. My question is, had either one of you had an Arby's roast beef sandwich with horsey sauce prior to the video?
No, we didn't. Actually, that smell that I was talking about, they just opened up a marijuana store up the street.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right.
There was a group of kids, you know, smoking some weed, thinking they was cool. And I know they got it from the store because I know full well they did not get that from Pookie and Ray Ray.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, fair enough. Okay. Well, Randy, at the 1:47 mark of the video, Kevin Sullivan turned you around and said, "We have a Mickey Minaj." Can you tell our Turnbuckle fans what a Mickey Minaj is? And if Sir Mix-a-Lot was once thinking about a rap song called Boombox Mickey Mirage?
Oh, no. Actually, the Nicki Minaj thing was talking about my back, my rear end.
Oh,
yeah, that's
well,
what
maybe
it was.
I was thinking about the Sir Mix-a-Lot song, Baby Got Back, then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that, yeah, Baby Got Back, yep. Yeah, I mean, hey, Sir Mix-a-Lot was the innovator of rapping about big asses and everything, and now look, it's like 2017, and everyone's now is like, oh, I got a big ass, and I was like, yeah, you wouldn't say that in 1993.
Oh, 1993. I can see that. Yes. All right. Well, Randy, I also saw your YouTube video entitled Jumbo Cat Zellers versus Exile. And my first question is, do you remember when this match took place? And is this the first time that Turnbuckle Terminal staff member Dimitri had announced your match?
Yeah, actually, I think that was, like, one of the first ones that Dimitri announced my match because I went out there, you know, and stating that I can beat anybody. I should be SCW heavyweight champion, lightweight champion, or whatever what titles they had there available. I wanted all the gold. Instead of getting all the gold like I requested, I get this big old guy with green trunks on and tats all over his body giving me chops. Giving me some chops that I can still remember them, but man. I gotta say was that my first encounter was Exile is when I had the black belt gimmick, and he came through there, chokeslammed me, and dang, who was it? Yeah, I think one of them got out of the ring, which was smart. I should have powdered out too, but I thought I could put my black belt into good use, and seeing this big guy, oh, okay, I'll take him down. Nope. Up I went, down I went. I was done.
Oh,
I know,
wow.
Someone else went up in there and got chopped multiple times, and I'm like, ooh, I feel bad for that guy, but no, I don't.
Wow. Well, Exile seems to have that effect on a lot of wrestlers. Yes.
Yeah. I tried fighting back, but it was just not happening.
Now, Randy, on an analysis of your Facebook page, it seems that you are a big fan of the late 80s era and early 90s era, kind of like a retro type thing. My question is, were you a big fan of the animated cartoon Josie and the Pussycats when you were growing up, and maybe Scooby-Doo?
Scooby-Doo, yes. Josie and the Pussycats, if there was nothing on or if I was bored or waiting on other cartoons, then yeah. But out of cartoons, I mean, I grew up watching Yogi Bear. I mean, reason why I like Yogi Bear, I mean, hey, who else can, you know, live up in the cave and try to jack people for their picnic baskets?
Oh, okay. All right. Very good.
And Tom and Jerry was my favorite.
Oh, Tom and Jerry. Okay. Yeah, that's pretty good. Not bad. Okay.
Yep.
Well, Randy, can you tell us what high school you played football for? What high school?
Actually, when I went to junior high, I played for Fairview. And when I went to I tried to play football for Olympic, but as you said, you know, earlier, I got pretty worn out of the sport of football, and the people that I had animosity with when I played in junior high were all playing high school, and I just kind of looked at the whole situation. I was like, man, forget this. I'm not going to play with these guys if they expect me to work hard, but yet, you know, they couldn't give me that common courtesy or that respect. I didn't want nothing to do with you. And, football to me was just like, man, I just can't do it. And that's what, I mean, when I got out of high school, I had that itch again, and, I was like, well, I can't play football no more because I'm not in high school. But to tell you the truth, I mean, with that, I was a better wrestler and a Taekwondo student than I was a football player.
Wow. So a Taekwondo, how many degrees of belts are there in Taekwondo?
It can go up to 10.
Wow. All right. Okay.
Yep.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, and
go ahead.
Okay, for Taekwondo, you know, I placed majority of my trophies that I did have. It was majority of them first place. I had some second, and I had a few third place trophies. Yep, I came close to getting the grand championship of Kim's Taekwondo, but I got beaten overtime.
Oh, well, now, were you a big fan of the movie Napoleon Dynamite, where Napoleon joins briefly the Rex Kwan Dojo?
Yep. Yeah, actually, I had a shirt that said Rex Kwan Do at one point in time, but I think I lost it. Yeah, Napoleon Dynamite, actually, I can watch that movie today, and it'd still be 10 times more funnier than what it was when I first seen it.
Now, do you believe that the lessons imparted by the Rex Kwan Dojo on Napoleon's best friend, Kip, led him to succeed in his romantic adventures with La Fonda?
To tell you the truth, I think it helped out a little bit, but I think with Kip, I think Kip kind of looked at the price and was like, forget this, I'm out.
I think he really made out great when he had an instant connection with La Fonda, and later on in the movie they went for prime rib.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because
yes.
I know, I remember they ended up getting married.
Oh, yes.
You know?
Oh, okay.
I mean, yeah, going out for, but hey, you know, hey, there ain't nothing wrong with prime rib now.
Oh, you're right.
I mean, meat between prime rib and steak, you know, to tell you the truth, I'll have to eat them both because they're both so good.
Oh, well, I always had you pegged as a T-bone steak rather than a filet mignon or a strip loin man. Yes.
T-bone. Oh, yeah, T-bone, yeah. T-bones is good. T-bones is excellent. But for me, I got to get a porterhouse because, I mean, I like to, I don't know, I just like more meat. Because every time I eat a steak and I'm like, that's it? Dang, that steak wasn't enough. And then after a while, I'm like, oh, yeah, that steak wasn't enough. I'm sitting up here all full saying, I don't want to give birth yet.
Are there any truth to the rumors that in 2018 you are going to challenge Coach Mike Jones to a porterhouse steak eating contest?
Hey, you know what, to tell the truth? If he's up for it in 2018, I'll take him up on that challenge.
Oh, okay. I think Coach Mike will be very interested to hear about this challenge. Okay. Well, Randy, what did you think of Randy the Pimp Taylor receiving this week's Turnbuckle Turmoil's number one ranking and thus a fruit pie for his efforts at Port Townsend? Yes.
To tell you the truth, I don't say, all hail to the pimp. You know, the pimp, pimp always, you know, I mean, hey, a pimp always knows what's going on. The pimp always, pimp's always on it. So, heck yeah, I mean, congratulations to pimp, though.
Oh, okay. All right. And he did receive some knife-edge chops that made his chest bleed. Yes.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Hey, they don't call him Hot Hands Mendoza for nothing. I've been there and done that.
Oh, okay. Yes, that's partly why he received those chops and yet continued to battle. That's what prompted a number one ranking. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. Well, Randy, what do you think about Coach Mike Jones receiving or passing the first test of his electrical certification license? Now, that takes quite a bit of brains. Yes.
Man, that takes a lot of brains, a lot of willpower, and a lot of know-how and will. I mean, to tell you the truth, I mean, a lot of wrestlers around here, I mean, when they get outside the ring, they can go off and do amazing things. And with Coach Mike Jones getting that, is a big accomplishment on its own.
Wow, okay. All right, yes. Okay, I agree with that, Coach Mike Jones. And I hopefully he will listen to this broadcast. You know, that'd be good. Okay.
Well, yeah. Or either that or he's out there using that qual right now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Randy, last week on the Turnbuckle Turmoil 2016 Wrestler Choice Awards, one of the categories was Rookie of the Year Wrestler, and I submitted Dominic Hess. Now, I saw a young Dominic Hess about 5 or 6 years ago at Piper's Pit in Portland, Oregon, when he made what was then, I believe, only his second up to then appearance in the ring as a referee. And he got the accolades of a Roddy Piper, who said that he did a good job. Do you agree with Dominic Hess, mostly agree with Dominic Hess being nominated for 2016 Rookie Choice Award on the 2016 Turnbuckle Turmoil Award Show?
Oh, I highly agree on that because I've seen the guy's work, and I've seen his work. I've seen him do his thing with the reffing and having getting that message from Roddy Piper. You know, hey, if I was him, I'd be on cloud nine still.
Oh, okay. All right. Very well said. Okay. Now, at this point, I have got a question, Sangai. Sangai, how much time do we have left in the broadcast?
We got about 20 more minutes.
Oh, okay. Well, I have enough. I was slightly thrown off by our technical difficulties. I have a slightly long but very well-meaning passage in a book I am reading. It'll probably take about 7 minutes. I have enough time now. I'd like to read you, Randy, a book that I am reading about Forrest Griffin, MMA fighter, and the book is titled Got Fight. And I believe that you also underwent some MMA training. Am I correct?
I went under a little bit of MMA training. My MMA fight wasn't really all that successful. But I gave Jesse Martinez, I gave him a good, I put up my end of the bargain. You know, I put up a fight, but Jesse Martinez was just, he was just too much.
Oh, okay. Well, the passage in this book called Got Fight, The 50 Zen Principles of Hand-to-Face Combat by Forrest Griffin, it's called The Devil Wears a Pocket Protector. It starts out, the toughest dude on the planet is not competing in the UFC or any other MMA organization. He doesn't train in the martial arts, shoots roids into his ass cheeks, or even hit the heavy bag. He couldn't have. From the looks of him, it's impossible. I don't know his name or what he's been up to for the past 6 years, but I'll never forget his face. Back when I was attempting to play football for the University of Georgia, I'd occasionally catch a ride with a group of meatheads who were also attempting to play football. One afternoon, four of us were packed into a Jeep with the top down, cruising around for a while, when someone had the bright idea to go down to Georgia Tech and harass some of the smart with nearly 1,000 pounds of muscle, fat and attitude weighing down our ride, we trolled around campus. I wasn't exactly sure what of my cohorts had in mind until one of the guys jumped out of the Jeep while it was still rolling and headed straight for the only person in sight. The target happened to be the biggest geek I had ever seen. Now, I'm not calling this kid a geek because he had more brains than all of us combined and actually went to class, but he was 5'9", packed at best 120 pounds, wore a button-down shirt, and had in his breast pocket half a dozen pens crammed into a plastic protector. But there's more. He had on horn-rimmed glasses and hugged a handful of books to his chest like a 10-year-old schoolgirl. Hands down, he was the most pathetic-looking kid in existence. So what does the dickhead who jumped out of the Jeep do? He goes straight up to the kid, slaps his book out of his hands, and then begins laughing at him and calling him names. Dorp, dipshit, duck nuts. Well, I can't really, I substituted duck for another word. Duck nuts. He let this kid have it. Pretty early on in the verbal assault, I suggested that we get moving and to expedite our departure, started to say that the cops would be showing up. Now, I was certain that the short, scrawny kid would begin wailing and running in circles, which only would have prompted this asshole I was with to chase after him. It would have been a horrible, although hilarious, sight to watch a 250-pound linebacker chasing down a 120-pound kid, pens flying everywhere. But that's not what our geek chose to do. Out of nowhere, he charged directly at my dick-faced associate and swung for the hills. I couldn't believe it. Swear to God, the football player was so big that even if you had 10 buddies getting your back, you'd still think twice about charging him. And here this little kid was doing it all on his own. Petite fists looping through the air like pesky mosquitoes. But before the kid could land a single shot, the football player cracks him and he goes down. I thought that would be it. The kid had probably watched too many kung fu movies and thought he was some kind of tough guy. Daniel-san, or some shit. Anyone who saw this exchange would have figured now that he had taken one to the face, he would stay down and play dead. That's not what happened. Getting socked only seemed to fuel his passion for justice. He popped back up like a wobble weevil and started to charge forward. By this time, another one of the guys in the Jeep had jumped out. Harnessing the pack mentality, he grabbed the kid by his neck, dragged him over to the edge of the grassy slope, and threw him down it. The kid tumbled head over tail, but when he reached the bottom, he didn't lie there in a tattered heap. He came storming back up the hill. When he reached the top, he stopped for a moment, casually removed his glasses, set them down on the glass, and then panned his eyes back and forth between his two assailants. The four words that came hissing out of his mouth will be etched into my frontal lobe for an eternity. I'm ready to die. He began his charge at 500 pounds of muscle. He ran straight into one of them and knocked him backwards into the Jeep, producing a decent-sized dent. This naturally angered the driver, so he jumped out and joined in on the fun. Together, they began beating the holy hell out of this kid. They'd throw him down, kick him in his guts and back, and then begin to walk away. Before they could make it five feet back to the Jeep, the kid would leap up again and charge them. So they'd smack him around, throw him down again, and do some more kicking. All the while, the kid threw his fists for all he was worth, headbutting, trying to bite. Meanwhile, I'm urging these boneheads to get moving. After this went on for a while, I could see the fear growing in the eyes of my fellow football player wannabes. They weren't worried about this kid causing them damage with his fists. They were scared of his heart and soul. It suddenly dawned on these geniuses that they had started something they couldn't finish, not unlike a 20-pound burrito. The kid was prepared to die for the sake of his dignity. Unless they were willing to go to that end and actually kill this kid, they could not win this fight. Eventually, the three of them picked the kid up, carried him back to the hill, and threw him over. The second his scrawny frame left his little hands, all of them came scrambling toward the Jeep, scared that they wouldn't make it back before the runt crawled his way up the slope and began his next charge. All of them fell inside as though they were trying to escape some terrible onslaught. The driver revved the engine and peeled out. As we sped away from the scene, I looked back over my shoulder. I saw the kid coming over the top of the hill in all his 120-pound glory, and the chill went down my spine. His face was bloody, and his button-down shirt was torn and grass-stained, but there wasn't a trace of emotion on his face. Instead of running for the police, the kid dusted himself off, put his glasses back on, and then headed casually off. I assumed to Dryfinger or Hogwarts or whatever, hugging his books in his arms. Right then, I realized not only that the kid was the coolest guy in the world, he was the toughest son of a bitch ever to walk the face of the earth. Well, I just thought I'd pass that on to you and hope that it may have brought up some MMA memories or something like that.
Oh, it sure did. It actually brought up some Taekwondo memories. And with this one, I'll tell you a little brief story real quick about the football. About football, when I was going to junior high, I got into it with a couple of the players that was on my team. You know, you're supposed to have that unity, that brotherhood, you know. That did not happen in 1995 in the Central Kitsap School District. Let's see here. I was in first period, you know, me, a couple of my friends, you know, talking amongst ourselves, you know, and I had just gotten into a fight with one of the other players. So, and that fight actually, I have to call that one a tie. that guy, I mean, the guy that I got into it with has one mean left hook. and so this other guy, he was the second string quarterback, scrawny as all hell. And, yeah, I can say that now because he is. All of a sudden, he started, you know, going back and forth, and one of his other friends going back and forth. I told one of my other friends, okay, this guy keeps talking smack. This guy's dead meat after class. I need you to hold my stuff just in case I go to the office. Oh, okay, whatever. And so I went and I confronted the guy, and what happened? Yeah, I got in his face. He pushed me. I pushed him back. Yeah, I think he threw a punch at me. I don't remember. The only thing that I remember me doing, I picked him up and I body slammed him. That's what everybody, including his homeboys, remembered about me, saying, "Yeah, I remember you picked dude up and body slammed him." And after that, I got back in position, kicked him in the face, got back in position again. And this teacher looked at me and was like, "Go to the office." And I was like, "Hell no, I ain't going nowhere." Did not know.
Oh, wow.
Later on down the road, when wrestling season hit, my first day of wrestling practice, he was there. And I kind of looked at him and I was like, ain't you the guy that sent me to the office?" He was like, "Yeah, you were the guy that picked up blah, 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 I'm not dropping no names," and body slammed him. And my mom gets a call at her job from the vice principal saying that, "Well, I didn't want to punish Randy, but I had to do something because I had to tell him that you can't be body slamming people at school."
Wow, very nice. Okay. Very good.
Yeah.
Well, Randy, I recommend this book, Forrest Griffin, Got Fights. Pick that up. Yes.
Yeah, definitely, because what you were telling me, to tell you the truth, I'm actually pretty interested in that book.
Well, okay, then I'll bring it by the next time I'm in Port Townsend and let you look at it. Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Port Orchard? Yeah, no problem. Heck yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's the 50 Zen Principles of Hand-to-Face Combat. And he gives good photographs of how to protect yourself in hand-to-hand combat later on in the book. Pretty interesting.
Yeah, nice.
Oh, okay. All right, well, back to you, Sign Guy. Yes.
Thank you, QT. Well, Randy, I know that in your career, you have had a lot of different sets of wrestling gear. You've gone through quite a bit over your career so far. I'm sure there will be lots more in the future. What to date has been your favorite all-time wrestling gear that you've worn to the ring?
To tell you the truth, when it comes to gear and stuff like that, I think I really liked when I first started. When I first started, I think I had the little CM Punk kick pads. I had the afro going. Yeah, because that afro, actually, that was an accident. Because I couldn't get in contact with my hairdresser at the time, so I just said, "Forget it. I'll just wear my afro just like this. You know, no big deal." But I did like the wig dreadlocks, though. I mean, that was what I was actually planning on getting was dreadlocks. Well, the twist locks, anyways. Cleaner version of the dreadlocks.
Career, you've often wore the amateur wrestling shoes as opposed to boots. Do you have a particular reason for the preference on the wrestling shoes in your matches, or is it just something that you started with and felt right, so you never made the switch?
I just really couldn't see myself wearing wrestling boots. I mean, I don't have nothing against them or anything, but with the wrestling shoes, it was more like I was displaying myself of being a wrestler's wrestler. Because I came from the collegiate-style wrestling, freestyle, and Greco-Roman.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
One of the things that you've done a lot of in your career is wrestle on outdoor shows. Here in the Northwest, they're pretty prevalent in the summer months. What's your opinion on wrestling outdoors as opposed to the more traditional indoor venues?
To tell you the truth, I mean, with the outdoor venues, it's more like we display, like, when we have our wrestling shows outside, there'll be people walking down the street, you know, people driving down the street. They see that ring, and they're like, you know, people get amazed, and that's how people end up trying to find parking and seeing what's going, and actually coming to see what's going on.
I've seen accidents happen for that very reason.
Yep. Oh yeah, I hear about them, and I hear a lot of near miss accidents too. Which, hey, near misses are good. As long as no one got hurt, no cars got messed up. Hey, it's all good.
Well, we're coming down to the last few minutes of this show, so I want to give that time to you. If there's anything you would like to say to the listeners today, anything you want to plug and promote, upcoming shows, merchandise, social medias, your favorite dry cleaner, anything in the world, the floor is all yours.
All right. Well, let's see here. Northwest Pro will be having a show on the 15th, on Saturday. Doors open at 6:30. Bell time is at 7 o'clock at the Key Peninsula Civic Center. I strongly advise anyone that's in the area, please, yeah, go ahead. Come on out. Be entertained. I mean, you're going to be seeing some really good matches. I mean, who in the heck am I wrestling? Dang, I've been so tied up with work, I forgot who I was wrestling. I mean, you'll see the debut. Oh, you'll see the debut of Kellen Ray taking on our heavyweight champion Jeff Orchid. You know, that's gonna be great. Just a whole lot of stuff, going on. I mean, if anyone's in the area, tune in to Kitsap County Uncut. My brother D-Mac Uno, and Miss Tac Talk, they are one of the dynamic duos of the independent hip-hop scene in the Northwest. And the song Northwest I Get It In, that's my brother too. And he's like, I mean, there's no other way to put it. He's an MC that doesn't promote no crimes, does not promote, you know, drugs or none of that stuff. He promotes survival, how it is in the Northwest, and he tells really great stories. And another one who actually tells a really good story is from the Lion's Den crew, from the Lion's Den Entertainment, is Young Lou, Jordy Sams, oh man. And the list goes on. I mean, the Northwest hip-hop scene it should have been our turn. It should be our turn now and beyond. And let's see here. Oh, man. I have to say, I mean, if it went for Northwest Pro, man, I mean, we wouldn't be talking like this or nothing like that. And I'm just give out big credit to Northwest Pro. Gave big credit to my family, you know. And shoot, if my daughter's hearing me, hey, little KZ, how you doing, little baby? Daddy loves you. And oh boy, and that's about it. Oh yeah, and PWF, I'll be taking on Ian Bear. I don't know why all the focus on me going into Northwest Pro. All I can think about is beating the crap out of Ian Bear.
Well, Randy Zellers, it's been a pleasure as usual. I thank you for putting up with the technical difficulties and joining us here today, and I look forward to seeing you on the 29th at Port Orchard.
Yep, Port Orchard, Washington. Yep, here we come. And thank you, Sign Guy, for having me. I deeply appreciate that. And, it's time to wrap it up. And, and here's one thing. If any of you guys ain't got nothing else better to do, y'all can do yourselves a favor, and that's get on up and join the Z-Team.
Absolutely. Fans, if Randy Zellers is on a card near you, go seek it out. One of the most well-known, most prolific wrestlers in the Pacific Northwest, always entertaining. I will be at PWF with them on the 29th. Casey Carlisle is going to be there, Randy. Can you believe that?
Ooh, I've heard a lot about her. Hey, it'll be a good opportunity for me to meet Miss Casey Carlisle.
Absolutely. Well, I will see you on the 29th. Fans, we will be back with you on Sunday. It is Trainer's Day on Turnbuckle Turmoil. We'll be talking to some of the more well-known people that train the new crop of professional wrestlers. We'll have trainers from all over the country, so it should be absolutely fascinating. We will talk to you on Sunday. Get out there, support your local independent wrestling. A lot going on this particular week, and we'll talk to you Sunday.
Definitely.
This is